I've got a word for today, and I believe it's from God. So let's connect. I'm going to pray. Father, I thank you that you're a good God, that you're a good Father. And I believe, Father, that today's word will go forth in might and power, and I acknowledge the presence of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, you are the one who makes the word alive. You are the one who teaches. You are the one who reveals. And I pray and ask that as this word goes forth, that you would be speaking to every single individual who's here. That you will be speaking to them about specific events, specific things, just things that need to occur in their lives. So, Father, I thank you. I believe with all my heart it shall come to pass in Jesus' name. And everybody says, amen. Amen. So, you always got to look to the Holy Spirit, right? I mean, the number of times that I've preached a sermon and I've walked off and someone has come up to me and said, Pastor, I got this from your sermon. And they're like, and they're telling me, and I'm thinking, wow, that's really good stuff. And then I look at my notes and go, I did not say that at all, but I will take some of the credit. So believe with me that the Holy Spirit will speak to you individually where you're at this time in life. So today I want to talk to you about no more limitations.
Yes.
No more limitations. That's the word God put in my heart to share. Psalm 78, verse 39 to 41 says this. It should have popped up on the screen. Oh, yes. For he remembered that they were but flesh, a breath that passes away and does not come again. How often they provoked them in the wilderness and grieved them in the desert. Yes, again and again, they tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel. They limited the Holy One of Israel. And I think we all know the story where God said to the children of Israel, he said, look, there's your promised land. There's Canaan, there's the promised land, and that land, that's your land. And the children of Israel went, no, that's not our land. And they paid a price. They limited what God could do in their lives. But John chapter 8, verse 36 says this, therefore if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. And go church Manchester, should we not live free? Should we not live free in who Christ made us to be? And so the message today is all about, let's cast off any limitations. Let's believe God for the best. Let's believe God for better than we are right now. There's a scripture that reads like this in Ephesians chapter 3. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. Isn't that amazing? I read that scripture and it's so challenging to me because I look at it and go, you know what, God? I can think of some crazy things. There's some things that I think and I believe of, and you're saying that you can do greater than that? And he goes, yes. Yes, son. And so there was one time I was praying and I wrote down, God really challenged me. He said, Matthew, how many lives do you think you can impact in your time here on earth before you come home to be with me? And I said, and I wrote down a number. And I said, this is how much I believe. And God said, that's it? And I'm like, what do you mean? That's a pretty big number. That's a huge number. And he said, no, that's it. I want you to stretch your believing. I want you to stretch what you believe. Don't limit me. Yeah, have you ever heard that saying, don't put God in the box? Right? Do you know who puts God in the box? We do. And so today's sermon is all about, hey, let's get God out of the box, people. Let's stretch what we believe God for. Let's believe for impossible things to occur in our lives because we serve an impossible doing God.
Yeah.
We serve a supernatural God. There should be things occurring in our lives because we're Christians, because we got the Word of God, because we got the Spirit of God. There should be things occurring in our lives that can't be explained in the natural.
Yes.
If your life is the exact same as people in the world, I mean, seriously, if our lives, if my life is the exact same as someone who doesn't know Jesus, then I tell you this right now, I'm limiting God. Because I've got the Holy Spirit. I've got the Word of God. I'm a born-again child of God. I'm His favorite.
Yeah.
Don't worry, you're His favorite too. I'm just the favorite. Nah, but if my life is over here. And when flu season comes, I get the flu, just like the person who doesn't know Jesus. And if my life is like when somebody cuts me when I'm driving down the M62 and somebody cuts in front of me and I lose my temper, just like the person who doesn't know Jesus. And if my life, my finances are in this state and it's just the same as a person in the world, then what is God doing in my life?
Yeah. Yeah.
If you look at me and you see someone who looks exactly like someone in the world, then I tell you right now, church, we're limiting what God is doing in our lives.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because our lives are supposed to be supernatural. Our lives are supposed to be empowered by the Holy Spirit. Our lives are supposed to be so different from what people in the world live that people look at us and go, my goodness, what do you have that I don't have? We should be believing God that the favor of God is manifesting in our lives every day. We should be believing God that we're going to see the goodness of God manifesting in our lives every day. We should be believing God that we're going to see the Word of God and the Spirit of God moving our lives every day, so that people come into there just and they just go like this: what is so different about you?
Yeah.
And you look at them and go, Jesus.
Yeah.
He's the difference.
Yeah.
Do you want to know Him too? And so, church, I want to challenge you, and I want to challenge myself. I love challenging people. The first challenge is you're all going to support New Zealand in the Rugby World Cup this year.
Yeah.
You with me, right? Anybody with me in this? Yes, there are people agreeing with me. Come on. You're English and you've cast it aside. You've got to support New Zealand. Oh, yes. But I know, I'm repenting right now, Peter. I've used this sermon, this platform to push my own agenda. This is when you do what you should do, is which you repent. See the lights. It's a sign. It's a sign. But we are supernatural. The greater one lives in us. And so we shouldn't limit God. Because God wants to use you to impact this nation. God wants to use you to impact this world. God wants to use you to impact those around you. Those people that you look at in work and you go, and they mock you because you're a Christian. God wants to use you to bring them into the kingdom of God. And it can only be done by the Holy Spirit. It can only be done by the power of God. It can only be done when you trust and believe and step out in faith. Because the first limitation I want to talk to you about is the limitation of risk. Because one of the limitations that challenges us all is the limitation of risk.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because stepping out in faith is going to be risky. But when we step out in faith, we get to see the supernatural power of God moving in our lives.
Mm-hmm.
Matthew chapter 14, verse 22. I think we all know the story when Jesus sends his disciples away in a boat to cross the sea, and he goes and prays, and as the disciples are going in the boat, they're crossing the sea, and they hit a storm. And then they see Jesus walking by in the water. And I'll pick up from verse 25. Now in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a ghost," and they cried out for fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I, do not be afraid." Verse 28, and Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." And so he said, "Come." And when Peter had come down out of the water, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw that the wind was boisterous, I like that word, boisterous, boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, "Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?" The first limitation that I want to share about today is the limitation of risk, the limitation of when we see God telling us to take a step of faith, we pull back because we think it's risky. But when God tells you to take a step of faith, in the natural it may seem risky, and I would say this, make sure it's God. Because Peter only stepped out of the boat when Jesus said, "Come."
Yeah.
So not every action is a step of faith. You got to hear from God. But when God tells you to take a step of faith, it's not risky because you know God will back it up. There's no need to fear because you know God is on your side. And so when there's this limitation of risk, when in the natural, sometimes when God says, "Hey, son, I want you to do this," or "Hey, daughter, I want you to do this," and in your spirit you're like, "Oh yes, let's do this," and your flesh is like, "Ah, there's no way I'm going to do that. That's too risky. That might go wrong." Church, I want to encourage you guys. Even if it does look risky, even if it does go wrong, even if you start walking on water and start to sink, Jesus can always pull you out again. Yeah. Just like he did for Peter. Yeah. And so even if you make what God does not ordain, he can still redeem. So you might miss it. And I'll be honest, there have been times when I've stepped out what I thought was faith, especially in my earlier years as a Christian, and I stepped out with what I thought was faith. And, you know, it didn't work out well. Let's put it like that. Did it stop me from taking steps of faith? No. I still took steps of faith. I learned from that. Go, well, okay, that wasn't God. Okay. But I'm still going to keep going forward. And for us, and for some of you guys, you might have taken what you thought was a faith step, and you may have stepped out, and it might not have gone being good at all. But hey, at the end of the day, you know Jesus loves you, and he can still redeem your mistake.
Yes.
But I want to encourage you guys, don't be like the disciples who were waiting in the boat, and they watched Peter step out on the water. They just stayed in their comfort zone. And one of the things about that will keep us from taking these faith risks is we want to be comfortable. Don't look at your comfort zone as a place of security. Look at your comfort zone as a prison that keeps you away from God's best.
Ooh, that's good. Yeah.
And that's our natural thing, is to be comfortable. How many of us like to be comfortable? Yeah. I put up my hand. Yeah. I like to be comfortable. I like to chill. If you want to do today, nothing, I'm just going to chill. I'm comfortable. But if we're going to be everything that God wants us to be, we have to be a people who get out of our comfort zone.
Yes.
We have to be a people who step out in faith. We have to be a people who say, yep, it's more comfortable to be in this boat, but I'm going to step out in faith.
Yeah. Yeah.
I've had to step out in faith when it comes to speaking in front of people. Yeah. I don't like to speak in front of people. If I could be the person at the back of the church, sitting up chairs and doing all and just serving, and no one sees me and no one knows me, I would be so happy. I once went to the Lord and said, "Lord, if I could just be in church and just serve behind the scenes and no one would see me, but I would still hear 'Well done, good and faithful servant,' I would be so happy." And is that possible? He goes, "I'm not going to change my plan for your life." It's like, okay, then I better do this the best that I can.
Yeah. Yeah.
But in order for me to stand before people, I have to step out of my comfort zone. And I'm always doing that every time I preach and teach. And I want to encourage you all, challenge you all. Don't look at your comfort zone as a place of safety, but look at your comfort zone as a prison which holds you away from God's best. Because I'm so glad I stepped out of my comfort zone. For Finn and myself, us leaving the beautiful island of Samoa. Everybody say Samoa.
Samoa.
I'm so proud of you guys. You said it perfectly. I'm always trying to tell people, not Samoa, Samoa. Samoa, Samoa. Anyhow, when we took our step, when we left Samoa, sometimes I almost say Samoa, when we left Samoa to come to this nation, that was such a faith step for us. It was so risky. We had one financial supporter. They were going to give us 25 Aussie dollars a month, which worked out to be like 15 pounds. And that was it. And I had a wife. I mean, I had a wife. I'm, you know what I mean. And four children. I'm digging a hole here, aren't I? And do you know what it's like to be the man of the family and God is saying, go to the other side of the world, and that's your financial support?
Yeah.
And the only thing is like, oh God, this doesn't make sense. And he just goes, son, go and I'll provide. And so we went and we're still here because he's always providing. Don't let your comfort zone be the prison which holds you away from God's best. Another limitation we need to overcome is the limitation of imagination. The limitation of imagination. Genesis chapter 11, verse 1 to 6. And the whole earth was of one language, of one accent and mode of expression. And as they journeyed eastward, they found a plain in the valley of the land of Shinar, as they settled and dwelt there. And they said one to another, come, let us make bricks and burn them thoroughly. So they had brick for stone and slime for mortar. You all know the story of the Tower of Babel, correct? Yeah. Right. Verse 4. And they said, come, let us build a city and a tower whose top reaches into the sky, and let us make a name for ourselves. So these people, they're trying to give all the praise and glory for themselves. They're not doing it for God's glory. Lest we be scattered over the whole earth. And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the sons of men had built. And the Lord said, behold, they are one people, and they all have one language, and this is only the beginning of what they will do. Now nothing they have imagined they can do will be impossible for them. Isn't it amazing if you've got one people, like Go Church Manchester, and you've got one language, you're all speaking the same thing, and you've got one vision. Isn't it wonderful what God will do through you guys? So here we see men and women who aren't living for God, who aren't putting God first in their lives. They're just doing it for their own glory. But God says this about them, now nothing they have imagined they can do will be impossible for them. Imagination is important. Have you ever said this? I can't imagine doing that. I can't imagine that occurring in my life. I can't imagine my marriage going to a better place. I can't imagine my finances turning around. I can't imagine that debt being cleared. I can't imagine that person being healed. Have you ever said, I can't imagine? That's challenging for us, for Christians, because when you say, I can't imagine, what you are saying is there is no hope of that ever occurring. When you say, I can't imagine that, what you're saying is there is no hope of that occurring. And that is not good for Christians because we need hope. Hebrews 11 verse 1 says this, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And so when you say, I can't imagine that happening in my life, or I can't imagine God doing that through me, what you're saying is there is no hope of that occurring in my life. There is no hope of God using me in that way. And that's a problem, because your faith is supposed to grab your hope and make that real in your life right here, right now. And if you don't have any hope, there's nothing for your faith to grab a hold of and make real right here, right now. So I want to challenge you, church. What can you imagine God can do through you?
Yeah.
Can you imagine yourself laying hands on someone, praying, and the power of God moving in that person's life? Can you imagine yourself standing before people and speak? I've had to imagine myself. I literally imagine myself standing before people and preaching and teaching the Word of God, and people being set free.
Come on.
I have to see it. And then I go, yes, that can occur. And then my faith says, yeah, now it's a done deal.
Yeah. Yeah.
What can you imagine? Can you imagine your marriage turning around? Can you imagine yourself debt-free? Can you imagine you're strong? Can you imagine yourself playing for the England team? Who is this? You imagine yourself playing for the England team? Yes, you can. That can occur in your life. If you imagine that. Of course, you've got to do some training, I suppose. But can you imagine that? Because if you can't imagine that, that means there's no hope. And if there's no hope, it will never come to pass. And I do know one thing. We've all got imagination, right? We can all imagine something. Now, is there a picture there of the glass half full and glass half empty? Is it up there now? Awesome. So how many of you guys have heard of this, like, is the glass half full, is the glass half empty? I think we've all heard it, right? So pessimists, they use their imagination to think of all the bad things that can occur. They see the glass half empty. I mean, they see a glass and it's half, I see the glass half full, obviously. They see the glass half empty and they just think of all the things that can take that water away until it gets down to nothing. Optimists, they see the glass half full and they just think of all the good things that occur that can top up that glass. And I'm making up a new word. I hope you guys run with it. Maybe it'll go worldwide. God optimists. Everyone's like, yeah. Can't you imagine that word going worldwide? No, not really. Well, anyhow, Christians then, look at the circumstances of life. No matter what those circumstances are. Even in tough, challenging, bad circumstances, and they believe that God can do something through this circumstance. No matter what it may look like. Financial, spiritual, physical, mental, they look at the circumstances, and I don't deny that we may face challenging circumstances, but what I can say is this, when you have God, He will turn that situation around. Can you imagine that? Because some of you guys, the Lord's speaking to me in my heart right now. Some of you guys, you come to church and you smile here at church and you're like, yeah. But at your home, you've given up hope. You no longer imagine God doing anything in your life. And church, that's not the way it should be. And if this is for you, start imagining again. Start seeing God using you. Start seeing God doing something in and through you. Start seeing God moving in your life. Don't let go of what God, this is for someone, but don't let go of the dream that God put into your heart as a young child. I don't know who this is for, but don't let go of the dream that God put into your heart as a young child. And right now, He's speaking to you about that thing right now. Yes, that can still occur in your life.
Yes.
Do you know why? Because God's hand, His power, has not suddenly disappeared. He's still the same God. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He will always be the same. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. If He did it before, and He can do it now, and He'll do it always, because He never changes. Repeat after me. I imagine that God can
and He will
move in me,
move through me,
and impact others
for His glory.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Do you receive that?
Yes.
Then let it be so.
Yes.
Yes, you will play for England. And when you do, make sure you give me the praise and glory. Because that's the problem, right? God does something wonderful in our life. We ask Him to move in our lives. And then He does it. And the next thing you know, we're like, where are they? What happened? Oh, the blessing that became all-consuming. It took you away from God. And next thing you know, you're no longer coming to church. No, put everything in its right place. Another limitation that we need to overcome is the limitation of pride. The limitation of pride. Luke chapter 5, verse 17 to 24. Luke chapter 5, verse 17 to 24. You guys all right?
Yeah.
How many of you guys are supporting New Zealand in the Rugby World Cup again? Just lift your hands up high. Did you know that you people who lifted up your hand up high, there is a special blessing upon you all. Two hands up. I have no scriptural basis for that whatsoever. I'm just throwing that out there. The limitation of pride. Luke 5:17. On one of the days, while Jesus was teaching, some proud religious law keepers and teachers of the law were sitting by him. They had come from every town in the countries of Galilee and Judea and from Jerusalem. The power of the Lord was there to heal them. So who was sitting around Jesus? On the first verse 17, proud religious keepers and teachers of the law. So that bit here, the power of the Lord was there to heal them, correct? That's who the scripture, that's who that sentence is referring to. Isn't it amazing? The power of the Lord was to heal people who were full of pride. God is a good God. He's good to people who love him, and he's good to people who don't love him. Now, it's a lot easier for him to be good to people who love him, but he's going to love on everybody. And some men took a man who was not able to move his body to Jesus. He was carried on a bed. They looked for a way to take the man into the house where Jesus was. They couldn't find a way to take him in because of so many people. They made a hole in the roof over where Jesus stood. Then they let the bed with the sick man on it down before Jesus. Isn't that amazing? Imagine being at church and then all of a sudden you look up at the roof that I helped build. That's why it's such a work of excellence. You look up and then all of a sudden this big hole opens up and these people lower down their buddy. Everybody needs four friends like that, right?
Yeah, come on.
I mean, they lowered him down. They didn't just go, there you go. But they lowered him down. Do you know what? I'll share this later. So when Jesus saw their faith, you know your faith can be seen? What you believe in your heart, it will be seen through your life. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the man, "Friend, your sins are forgiven." And the teachers of the law and the proud religious law keepers thought to themselves, "Who is this man who speaks as if he is God? Who can forgive sins but God only?" And Jesus knew what they were thinking. He said to them, "Why do you think in this way in your hearts, which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven, or get up and walk? So that you may know the Son of Man has the right and the power on earth to forgive sins," he said to the man who could not move his body, "I say to you, get up, take your bed, and go to your home." At once the sick man got up in front of them. He took his bed and went to his home, thanking God. And all those who were there were surprised, and they gave thanks to God, saying, "We have seen very special things today." But you notice that those people who said, "We have seen very special things today," there's no scriptural basis. There's no scripture reference that says that they got healed themselves.
That's right.
Do you notice that? And yet in the beginning, the power of the Lord is there to heal them. And yet they walk away from seeing a man healed and they walk away going, "Neil, you know what? We've seen some very strange things today. Wonderful things." But they don't get healed. Is it possible to be around the things of God? Is it possible to be around the Word of God? Is it possible to be around God? Because Jesus is God in the flesh. Is it possible to be around God and the power of God be there for you and you miss it? And you limit God moving in your life? Yes, it is. And one of the limitations for the teachers of the law and the Pharisees was pride. God gives grace to the humble, but he resists the proud. And we don't want to limit God by pride. And so God spoke this to my heart. He said, "Pride, son, is when I tell you to do something, either through my word or by my spirit, and you don't do it because you think you have a better idea."
Yeah.
That's pride. And so there'll be times when the Word of God, when we open our Bible the Bible's speaking to us and God, the Bible is God speaking to us, and we don't do the Bible. Instead, we just go, "I'm going to do my own thing." That's pride. Right? Because you basically said, "Yes, God, this is your Bible, and I know that the Bible is inspired by the Holy Spirit, and it's you talking to me, and that's your idea, but I'm going to do this." Basically, you're saying, "God, my idea is better than yours." And that's pride. And that will limit God moving in our lives.
Right.
Ever heard of Naaman? And how he was supposed to be healed, or how he got healed, and how Naaman goes to the prophet, and Naaman is expecting the prophet to come forth and speak some things over him, and the prophet doesn't even come forth. The prophet sends one of his servants, and Naaman gets all angry. He goes, man, and this is my paraphrase here. He goes, man, he sends out this nobody. And then this nobody tells me I have to go dip in the River Jordan 7 times. What is this? I brought money, I brought everything, and he's supposed to come prophesy over me, and I'm going to give him this money, and I will be healed. That's the way it's supposed to occur. But when that's pride, because God will say, no, let's do it this way. There was one time in my life when I was believing God to be healed of severe pain in my joints. Every joint in my body, I was, you know, this joint here, whatever that one's called, the elbow, I know that, and the knee, and all the joints, wherever bone met bone, I was in pain. And that pain was getting worse and worse and worse. And then I was like, man, and I was confessing the word, declaring the word of my life, thanking God for my healing and manifesting. And then in my devotion time, I wrote down, drink more water, cut down on sugar. I thought, nah. And I didn't do anything about it. And the pain was getting worse and worse and worse. And then one day I was in Rhema, I was in Bible college, and this guest speaker comes across and he starts preaching and teaching. And I'm like, yeah, that's really good. And then he stops and he goes, do you know, I was having a real problem with pain in my joints. And I was like, yes. You know, when your spiritual ears go up, like, yes. And then God starts to speak to me what I should do. And I thought, yes, I know what you're going to do. You're going to call me up. He said, you, come up right now. You're going to prophesy over me. And he'll call me up. I'll stand there. And then you will lay hands on top of my head. The power of God will hit. I will shake. I will fall backwards. There will be a catcher to catch me. And then I will get up and I will be healed. Yes. I said, come on. I'm standing. Come on. Call me now. Come on. And he's like, yes. And then I had pain in my joints getting worse and worse. I said, yes, just call me up. And he goes, and you know what God told me to do? I said, I know what God told you to do. And he goes, and God told me to drink more water and cut down on sugar. I mean, no. No. I'm like, Lord, I'm new to this Pentecostal thing. I'm really new to this. But even I know that's not the way you get healed. What happened to me? I was walking in pride. Because God told me how to get healed. And I said, no, that's not the way. And we can limit God, what God wants to do in our lives. But when God tells us to do things in a certain way, and we go, no, that's not the way. And we don't want to limit God. We don't want to put God in the box. We want God to move powerfully, supernaturally, over and above and beyond what we could even think. And I know some of you guys, you can think some crazy stuff. Do you know God can move beyond that? Psalm 78, 39, 41. He remembered that they were but flesh, a breath that passes away and does not come again. How often they provoked him in the wilderness and grieved him in the desert. Yes, again and again, they tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel. John 8, verse 36. Therefore, if the Son of God or the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. If the Son has made you free, you're meant to walk and live your life in freedom. We're going to pray. And I believe God put this word in my heart for a specific reason. That there are people who need to break free of limitations. That there are things that you are holding on to or connected with. I really don't know. There are other limitations. There's not just three limitations. There's the limitations of past regrets. Things you've done in the past and you've never really gotten over them. I'll say this. This is for someone in particular. But you can't blame yourself for your children's decisions. They get the right to choose. You did the best that you can. You followed, you did what you knew the Spirit of God was telling you to do. You did your best to follow the Word. You did your best to model what you knew God was doing. But you can't blame yourself if your children walk away. Everyone has the right to choose. Don't let that hold you back. There's a limitation of unforgiveness. Some of us, you may not have forgiven. You may say this, yes, I have forgiven, I have forgiven. But if you had that same, when you talk about that situation and you had that same vehemence and bitterness as if when it first occurred, then I tell you now, you probably haven't forgiven. Who wants to live free? Who wants the best that God can possibly do in your lives? Who wants to take God out of the box? If you want to live free, if you want the best that God can possibly do, I want to invite you to come forward. We're going to pray. Don't come forward right now. But we're going to pray. We're going to believe God will break the limitations. You will break the limitations by the help of the Holy Spirit. But there will be no more limitations. And whatever that limitation may be, whether it be unforgiveness, whether it be pride, whether it be lack of imagination, whether it be, I don't know what that limitation may be. God knows. And when you come forward, when we lay hands on you, the power of God will be ministered, and we believe with our heart that you will be set free. And I'm just asking now, if you want to come now, believe God for the best, believe God to move, I just invite you to come forward now. And we're going to pray for you. Is anyone here bold enough to come to be free? Just light up in front of us. Thank you. God will move in your lives. God's going to move in your lives. No more limitations. No more limitations. Come forward, children of God, and be bold. For whom the Son sets free is free indeed. And as we minister, as Pastors Allen and Pastor Claire and as the team ministers, as hands are laid on you, we believe the Spirit of God will set you free. We believe for freedom. We believe because whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Father, we thank you. We thank you that whom the Son sets free is free indeed. And we thank you, Father, that as that everybody came forth, that they received everything that they're believing God for. Father, I believe that limitations today were broken. Chains of limitations that held us back from seeing you do everything that you want to do were broken in Jesus' name. And Father, we thank you. We look forward to the testimonies of your goodness, of your favor, of your grace, of your wonderful supernatural power moving mightily in our lives, because whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen and amen.